Hey, it's Lisa Carlin from Attacking Third to tell you about the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. It's equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend. The Hyundai Santa Fe features available all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, plus available dual wireless charging pads, ensuring that you can take on any adventure. It's ski season, and with the all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe, I can easily load the car with all my gear plus my friends in the third row and make it right to the base of the slopes with all-wheel drive. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Attacking Third, a CBS Sports soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports, joined today as always by my colleague and co-host Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's segment, we have another live recap where we're going to discuss Saturday and Sunday's NWSL Challenge Cup matches. But before we take a deep dive into that, a quick reminder, follow us on Twitter for all news and updates. We also have a TikTok and Instagram, so you can follow us across all three platforms at Attacking Third for highlights, cool graphics, breaking news, and so much more. If you're joining us live on YouTube, welcome. Join the conversation in the chat. We always appreciate your feedback and keeping the energy going. We're going to need it today because we're the first time we're doing one of these, Lisa, early in the morning. In terms of a recap of NWSL Challenge Cup games, we decided to shake things up a little bit. We broke up the long weekend slate of games into two parts, and we had a recap later in the evening on Friday, and now we're doing a morning recap on Monday. So it's a little bit of a different energy. So I'm curious to see how everyone's going to be doing this morning.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting to have people joining us on their Monday mornings on this YouTube. And it's great to start my day with you, Sandra, and my week with you. It is a little different, though, but I almost liked it because last night after all the games finished, I was a little wired after them. Yeah. Sometimes makes for a really good live, but now I had the chance to sleep on it a little bit and rewatch the goals this morning, youtube.com/attackingthird, full extended highlights of the game. Oh. So I was able to watch those again, especially the ones from Saturday, because that felt like so long ago. But I'm excited to dive into it because there was matches Thursday, Friday. We already touched on them and we already talked about them. And then San Diego and OL Reign that played on Thursday, they played again yesterday on Sunday. So we get to talk about that and the changes we saw in that game. Honestly, yeah. There's a lot for us to break down from the Saturday and Sunday slate.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, I'm just like, it's a nice way to start off the week. I think we were chatting a little bit off mic and texting each other this morning. We're like, we're excited to go early in the morning. And I like retweeted our live link and I'm like, hopefully we get some people to join and see what's up. I was like, grab your morning beverage. Although I was a little disappointed. I didn't have any, like, I usually like to go for like a caffeinated seltzer, but I just got the regular water today.
Sandra, I always have my coffee. I mean,
you're rocking the mug. I'm really good about making, when we were doing the Olympics in July, I was really good about like making my tea and stuff like that and having like caffeinated teas. And we'll just stay hydrated.
I can't live without coffee. We record sometimes at like 6:00 PM and I'm like drinking coffee.
Time to have a cup of coffee. Here we are. I respect it so much. Coffee at all hours of the day. Let's maybe to start and kick things off here. Let's just go through the weekend slate of games and maybe give everybody just the results. And then we'll take a deep dive into these games. On Saturday, it was a doubleheader with Orlando Pride versus North Carolina Courage. Scoreline ending in 4-2 going the way of North Carolina, picking up all 3 points in that one. Then Racing Louisville FC hosting Chicago Red Stars, a tie out of that one, the draw, a 1-1 draw for that one. And Sunday was a triple header with Gotham FC hosting Washington Spirit. Washington Spirit taking all 3 points with a scoreline of 3-1. OL Reign versus Angel City, defeating OL Reign defeating Angel City 2-1, and Portland Thorns versus San Diego Wave FC. That one had a lot of goals in it, too. 3-2 is the scoreline for that one. Portland Thorns picking up all 3 points. Let's get into let's be frank, Lisa, it's our favorite segment of Attacking Third, right next to any time that we get to talk about winners and losers. We lean into that a little bit. And, you know, if it's not us talking about defense, you know, and talking about how much we love it, we love talking about some winners and some losers. And a cool thing about this is we're also going to get a chance to maybe talk about some matches that we were telling folks to keep an eye on this weekend, in particular, maybe teams to keep an eye on this weekend. And we got to start with this OL Reign versus Angel City win 2-1 in this one. A lot of big things coming out of this one. It was OL Reign, quick turnaround for this team, right? We talked about when we did the massive preview. This was one of the teams that we knew was going to have a couple of games in a short amount of time. And it maybe impacted our picks a little bit. We were a little curious how this team was going to look with player rotation, coming off an international window, the quick turnaround. But OL Reign came out here and they got their business taken care of. A 2-1 win over Angel City. It clinched a semifinal berth for the Challenge Cup. It's just going to be a matter of figuring out which seed they are. Quite frankly, they have one more week remaining in terms of Challenge Cup, but this was the game that essentially got it done for OL Reign. On the Angel City side of things, Kristen Press placed last minute on COVID protocol right before the game, and maybe not the game that had all the goals, because we wondered if there were going to be a couple matches throughout this weekend that were going to have heavy score lines. But this wasn't one of them. Maybe part of that had to do with the fact that there was a Kristen Press missing for Angel City, and OL Reign was coming off of this short rest. When you were looking at this game, though, Lisa, did you think it was going to end this way?
Honestly, no, I did not. Well, we both had OL Reign winning this one. However, when OL Reign scores first goal from Bethany Balser, of course, fantastic player doing that, and then Angel City equalizes in the 83rd minute, I honestly thought it was going to end in a draw at that point, right? Because we're at 1-1. There's less than 10 minutes left in the match. And Angel City they changed their game plan in the second half. I mean, first half, it was all OL Reign. It honestly was. I think losing Kristen Press, honestly, that announcement came out right before the match started, changed things a little bit for Angel City. They had to figure out how to adjust without Press and what to do, how to play without her. Having McCaskill in midfield and June Endo, those players still trying to balance their positions on the pitch and where to go, because Endo likes to play more centrally, but that's where McCaskill thrives as well. It's almost like they have two players that want to be the 10 in the midfield, and they can't do that. So second half of this match, after that happened, I think Angel City played a much better second half. They controlled the ball much more. They were able to keep a lot of the possession. The possession actually evened out in the second half as it was going. So the goal that ultimately came from Simone Charlie being assisted by Endo in the 83rd minute, that wasn't surprising at all, because Angel City had built up a momentum to get this goal. I thought it was going to end in a draw at that point, but stoppage time, right? It's all about the stoppage time. 4 minutes of stoppage time. And in the final seconds, OL Reign is able to score. Assist from Lauren Barnes, a beautiful ball in from Lauren Barnes. And then it's Vanderjet, who ends up getting this one. It's her second NWSL start. She started on Thursday, had an assist in that match, and then scores the game-winning goal for OL Reign in this one. Angel City must have been very pleased with their performance. Probably a little disappointed to give up a goal in the final seconds this match, but pretty pleased with how they're playing against OL Reign, which is the best team in the Challenge Cup right now.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think even in this game, I had the halftime thought when I was watching this match, and again, we all react to things, and I was just tweeting through it like we all do sometimes, and I was like, you know, OL Reign is up right now. And it's going to be a little curious to see what happens in this second half. And I made a reference to the depth that is probably going to come into play for this match. I just felt like Angel City started to turn it on a little bit towards the latter end of that first half and going into the second half. But I just didn't, I was like, I just don't think that the team is built right now anyway to be able to just completely steal one on the road against a team like OL Reign. And as we got into the second half, we saw that. We saw, like, despite Ol Reign having, you know, the heavy legs, the quick turnaround, you know, the having to tap into player rotation, really, that's, I think, for me, when we're looking at improvements and areas to point out of improvement this week, we're looking at the expansion sides, right? And we'll talk about San Diego a little later, but in a team like Angel City, we're noticing these very small improvements, right? Even if it's just like a full second half performance, you know, ending a certain type of way versus starting the way that you did.
That's growth.
It's like the little things that you're going to look at during the highlight packages, or when you're, you know, in the meeting rooms looking at footage, you're going to say, okay, here were the improvements from one half to the next. But then for Ol Reign, it was their opportunity to show off the depth of their squad. And we see Laura Harvey make these adjustments, right? Having somebody like Ximena Lopez to be able to come in and continue getting active in the attack, right? With somebody like Sofia Huerta, who had already been doing that throughout the duration of the match. And then having this stoppage time goal, you know, the breakthrough that just came in at the very last possible attempt that you could have done it. It was just very, very impressive. So even despite, you know, the shots on target getting leveled out right between these two sides, mm-hmm. or, you know, the maybe the disjointed passing a little bit between some players on Ol Reign because of the lack of familiarity or the lack of minutes at this point for some of these players. You saw this was maybe the type of gritty game that we hadn't seen yet from Ol Reign. Like, is this a team that is built on tactics, built on finesse, built on fitness, athleticism? We hadn't seen like the kind of you just got to put your head down and grind it out kind of game yet from Ol Reign. And I think we saw that this weekend. And again, it's just another thing that's very impressive about this Ol Reign side right now.
It really was. And the celebration from Laura Harvey and post-game press conference and her celebrations. If you didn't see it, we put it out on Attacking Third Twitter. Kudos to Sydney, our social media manager. She does a great job with that. But you could tell that this was a full team effort from Ol Reign. And honestly, Angel City, too. I think that's why this weekend's slate of games was so impressive, because we saw different player rotations and across the entire Challenge Cup, different players stepping up on different teams. And for Angel City to win the full-time possession battle against Ol Reign, 50.2 to Angel City, 49.8 to Ol Reign. So that it's 0.2 essentially percentage of possession that Angel City won. And I think that's something for Angel City to hang their hats on, especially without Kristen Press in this match.
Yeah, it got leveled out a little bit. And I think, you know, that's something that they're going to try to look at as growth, like you mentioned, Lisa. They're going to look at the overall team performance. I'm sure they're going to look at strong individual performances in this one as well. You know, Jasmine Spencer covering a ton of ground out there for Angel City and doing it from the back line out on the flank, you know. So there's pieces there, right? But, you know, and then seeing this kind of breakthrough between Endo and Simone Charlie, you know, connecting to try to make it an interesting game for a little bit, at least, right? Brilliant header from Charlie, you know, as well. There's these small moments of flashes that we're seeing of promise of Angel City. But we'll see if a game like this is what spearheads a new trajectory for this team, because we know that it's definitely boosting Ol Reign up to where they're trying to be, which is in the semifinals of the Challenge Cup. Yeah. We're first team to clinch that. Let's take a look at the other match that we're looking at in terms of when we're discussing and breaking down winners and losers. It's Gotham FC versus Washington Spirit. Washington Spirit walking away with the win in this one, 3-1. Now, I think coming into this match, Lisa, we talked a little bit about it. These two teams met prior. Washington Spirit were the hosts in that one, and there was a little bit of banter that took place off of the pitch, spilled on into social media. And I think this was a match that not only we had highlighted, but many others had highlighted, like, what's going to be the turnout of this game? As you sort of have this attacking duo in the Washington Spirit with Trinity Rodman and Ashley Sanchez going up against a pretty solid back line in Gotham. It's something that they pride themselves on. And now it's being led in goal by Ashlyn Harris. And this was some of the banter that we saw amongst these players. And it was looking like maybe Gotham was going to have the better day with a very early goal in this one, but the spirit coming from behind, which I think is always a very impressive way to win a game. You had a Sanchez free kick, Trinity Rodman collecting a brace, and they did this without any midfielders. Well, they had some midfielders, but I'm trying to give all praise as always to the great Andy Sullivan, but no Andy Sullivan in this one and no Dorian. So a lot of active play without maybe the typical staples in the midfield that they were used to. I think another impressive win by another impressive team in this one.
You have to mention that there was essentially no starting midfielders for Washington Spirit. After the match, head coach for the Spirit, Chris Ward, saying that Sullivan and Dorian Bailey could have played, but he wanted to rest them. So interesting move on his part. He's got a lot of faith in the other players that he has on his team, which is a theme for Chris Ward. He knows he has a deep bench. He knows he has a lot of talent, and he was not scared to use it and scared to do that against Gotham, especially after Naho Kawasumi scores in the opening 4 minutes of this match. That truly was the theme between this weekend slate of NWSL games. Yeah. Opening minute goals. We saw that, and this team did not disappoint in Gotham getting this one. It was actually a pretty soft goal, I'm going to say. I mean, it was bounced around. It wasn't struck very hard. It didn't have a lot of pace behind it. It went through traffic, so Kingsbury, Washington Spirit goalkeeper, couldn't see the ball coming, and then it just trickled into the corner of the net. It was placed well all the way towards the far post from Kawasumi, but otherwise, there wasn't anything that special about it. However, in this match, you have to give a lot of credit to Washington Spirit and Sanchez and Rodman because they responded incredibly quick. The 24th minute, Ashley Sanchez, she gets a goal, set piece goal for Sanchez. This was a foul that was drawn just outside the box and a very well struck Ashley Sanchez goal, set piece goal for her. It was the third of the Challenge Cup. Dabinia had one earlier. I mean, Ekic had one in the Saturday slate and then Sanchez getting this one in the Sunday slate. And then Rodman responding just before the halftime around the 40th minute of this match, getting another goal. And then Rodman ending up with a brace in this match. It was really fun to watch these two players just vibing together. Yeah. You can tell that they play together.
They were having some fun out there.
No, they're having fun, but they play together at club every single weekend and week out. And then over the international break, it's hard to transition from one team to the next with tactics and formations and player personnel. But you can tell that these two are continuing to play with each other. And you can tell that they're friends off the pitch, which helps that relationship on the pitch, especially for these young players that they are professionals and they know that this is their job, but they're also just looking to have fun and play the game. And when you're doing it with your friends, it makes it that much more enjoyable as a player. And you can tell that for sure that that's what's happening. I think Gotham broke down a little bit too towards the end of this one. No Anamanu to start the match either, which was an interesting move by head coach Scott Parkinson. But this was a really good match for Washington Spirit. We're seeing all of the pieces come together for them.
You know, you can see it in the body language, right? They were having fun out there in a match like this. But I also like that in a game like this, you had these young attackers for the Spirit kind of have to tap into their soccer IQ. Right? When you don't have somebody like an Andy Sullivan starting alongside you, someone who's, able to be this disruptor, but also this connector, this type of linchpin for this Washington Spirit side, how were the Spirit going to try to attack, right, against this Gotham FC side that has a pretty good back line? Anchor, you know, helped. It's helped and assisted by, the former or the 2021 Defender of the Year and Caprice Didesco, right? Who also had a heavy workload on this day, coming up big at one point down the stretch for her back line and for her goalkeeper. But it just wasn't enough. We saw that despite not having this type of central play that maybe we're sometimes used to seeing from the Spirit, having a player like Rodman out on the wings can still help your team and help punish your opposition. We just saw it was a flurry of activity, really, out on the wings from either side when you're looking back at some of the tape against with Spirit against Gotham. And you just it just sort of felt like one of these games where it's just like, okay, so Gotham went up early, but there is far too much soccer left. You're talking about going up in the fourth minute of a game, and you're just kind of like, "This is."
It's almost too early.
And we're like, "This is gonna get a little more exciting than it is right now in this moment." A great goal, opening goal from Kawasumi, but like you said, Lisa, the transgression of the goals to happen, you know, after that, and I just we're looking at this Washington Spirit side from where they were in week one of Challenge Cup to where they are now with a week remaining for Challenge Cup. It's like two completely different teams. It's like, it's almost like they needed to get their footing to sort of, you know, step out, sort of get re-familiar with each other, maybe shake off a little bit of the championship hangover, right? Say, hey, we got to go. This is who we are. People are going to gun for us. We're the champions. They're going to come and bring their best every single time. And I think a little bit of that, quite frankly, coupled with still more questions from Gotham. You know, look, I think it's safe to say now, because of the picks that we went through, I had Gotham coming out on top in the East. And you know what? That's not going to happen in the 2022 Challenge Cup. But just a little bit of another game where we saw some struggles for this team in terms of the attack not being able to generate in the way that I think maybe folks out there were anticipating. Mm-hmm. A lot of activity from Margaret Purse, and we're seeing her and Christy Mewis trying to combine a little bit, and you're talking about first season for these two playing, so there's still some time to develop some chemistry amongst them. But I think you're going to see this Gotham FC side have more questions maybe than they have answers going into the regular season. And hopefully they can find some of those answers a little bit quicker in their regular season to ensure that they, you know, still stay part of the conversation in terms of the 2022 playoff makeup. So that's what we had to talk about in terms of these two matches and in terms of our winner and loser segment. We still have some more games to get through because it was a triple header on Sunday. So we got three other games to get through and discuss with you all. We're going to do that right after a quick break.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Let's keep it moving. Triple header to close out Sunday NWSL Challenge Cup action. We're going to take a deep dive into Racing Louisville versus Chicago Red Stars. A 1-1 draw in this one. And in this match, we're going to be highlighting the free kick of the weekend. We had some pretty good set pieces this weekend, Lisa. But let's talk about Chicago and Racing and what we felt led up to one of the best, if not the best, free kick set piece goal to happen this weekend. Chicago Red Stars on the road to Louisville. Go up early in this one and then drop the points. Racing Louisville trying to keep things interesting in the Central. We'll just leave it at that at this moment. But unfortunately, not picking up the win, sitting in second place of the Central now, right behind Kansas City Current, setting up a match day scenario for next week in terms of who's going to come out on top of the Central region. But a 1-1 draw in this one, thanks to Emma Ekic. Let's talk about it, Lisa.
I have to agree with this. I mean, there was a number of set pieces we saw this weekend. I mean, we saw Ashley Sanchez. We just talked about that, getting the equalizer against Gotham for Washington Spirit. However, this was the game-winning or the equalizer at the end of this match for Racing Louisville. Amina Ekic, she comes on, checks on, subs on in the 56th minute, and about 10 minutes later, she scores the equalizer. There was a set piece opportunity right outside the box. And the young striker, the young forward for Racing Louisville, is determined to be the one to strike this. She's got an incredible left foot. It was picture perfect. I loved this. Now, it's no knock against Ashley Sanchez's or even Davinia's that came earlier in this Challenge Cup for set piece goals. But this one, with the type of player it was in Amina Ekic, a younger player in this league, on a team like Racing Louisville going up against Chicago, who has Alyssa Nair in goal, who has a really good defensive unit in Chicago. And for this young player to say, I'm going to be the one to strike this, left-footed, hits the upper 90, no mistake about it. It was a very, very impressive goal from Amina Ekic. The celebration from her as well was just tremendous, but it was almost how this game unfolded as well that led to this big buildup of the goal from Amina Ekic, because you're right, Chicago, they score in the opening 10 minutes of this match. It was really across the board this weekend. Seventh minute, Amanda Kowalski, who recently signed just a few weeks ago with Chicago. She's made a number of NWSL starts, and she's proven that she deserves to be on the pitch. She gets her first NWSL goal in the seventh minute of this match. And then this goal from Amina Ekic didn't come until the 76th minute after a slew of substitutes for both sides, Chicago and Racing Louisville. But this match had a lot in it because the opening goals happening, lots of possession battles throughout these two, winning the 50-50 balls. It was pretty even possession looking at the stats for this one, 49.1% for Racing Louisville, 50.9% for Chicago. There was four cards given out in this one. We talked a little bit last week or the midweek about the calls being made and how maybe the officials have slowed down a little bit in giving their cards and everything. No, this weekend it was back up there. Lots of cards given out on all sides pretty evenly as well. This was a really fun game. Mallory Pugh went down, unfortunately. Yeah. She got hit in the head. It did not look great coming off the pitch. I don't know if you have any more insight on that, Sandra, but this was a good battle between these two sides. Coming into it, I had Chicago winning and you had a draw for this one. So congratulations, Sandra. You get the 1-1 draw on this match.
It was just, I don't know. It was just a vibe, a feeling, a gut check that I went with. I don't know. Listen, Racing Louisville, when we're breaking down halves of the Challenge Cup or halves within matches for teams who are trying to build towards their regular season, we made note of the expansion sides, but I have a special eye on teams like Racing, on teams like the Current. These are teams that are in their sophomore season, essentially, right? These were the expansion sides from 2021. I'm curious to see what they're going to be building on in 2022. And what we're noticing is maybe just in this central region specifically, again, I don't know if anyone took a look at this region and said this is going to be the one that might be most even or have the most competition out of it. That's going to come down to the final match week in Challenge Cup. But here we are. It's looking like that's going to be the way that this shakes out. And so I had to go with the draw on this one because I'm like, you know what? Just the international break, the coming off of, you know, the international friendlies. What is the player rotation going to look like for these two teams? And those were questions that we asked of ourselves of this match, Lisa. And we saw for Chicago with the game later in the week, not on a Thursday, not on a Friday, but on a Saturday and Sundays type of games, that players who were active during international windows might have got starts towards these later weekend slate of games. And we saw that with Nair, with Pugh coming on board for Chicago. And you know what? I think I don't want to say it always comes down to one player, but you have this Red Stars team be very active, generate a goal very early in the opening 10 minutes, and then still try to retain possession because this is a team with their shape showing that they want to try to keep possession of the ball and not only keep possession, but do something with it when they have it. But then you have this really tough moment in the match where essentially your star player gets taken out of the game, right? So Mal Pugh taking a really hard shot as she was standing on the wall off of a set piece. And we got to see the concussion protocol come into play during this Challenge Cup match, just based on velocity of the hit, the fact that it was a headshot, you know, they made the right call, I think, in taking this player out, making this exit. And we saw with the concussion substitution that, you know, with Racing Louisville also got an additional sub because this is how things work with the extra sub now. But I it's unfortunate that we had to see it in action, but I'm glad that the protocol is in place. There hasn't been an update since Malpiu coming out of there, but I think it's safe to say, knowing what we saw on the stream, what we heard in the broadcast, the fact that the concussion protocol was being utilized in real time, we're going to assume that it's off of that. Now, how she does over the course of the week, we're going to find out later into this week as something like availability reports come into play or pre-match day availabilities come into play, and we can chat with coaches about that, and we'll have more information later on down the road. But if we notice the timing of this, we have a substitution come in for Chicago. Sarah Griffith coming on for Malpiu just past this hour mark, and just mere minutes later, Racing Louisville trying to take advantage of the momentum swing a little bit. And they set themselves up for another free kick in another dangerous position. And we saw Ekic put it away. It was absolutely a stunner of a goal. So congrats to Racing leveling things out in this one. And yeah, I'm glad I chose to draw on this one because he's like, there's just something about coming off of an international break. And I think while we might get some golazos, I think if there's going to be a game set up to be a draw, that it's going to be these two. Chicago Red Stars still searching for that ever elusive win over Racing Louisville. Just hasn't happened yet between these two franchises when it's Chicago versus Racing.
It hasn't. And we talked so much about the standings in this central region. So after all is said and done from this weekend, Kansas City remains at the top of the standings with 10 points. Chicago, number two at 8 points. Racing Louisville in third place with 6 points. And then Houston at the bottom of the central region with 3 points. Because that's why this game between Chicago and Racing Louisville was such a big match. They end up splitting the points one apiece, and Chicago stays just barely ahead of Racing Louisville and behind Kansas City in this central region in kind of how it unfolded. But Sandra, you're teasing me here with the golazos. We had a lot of goals scored weekend.
Yeah, we did. We got to take a look at Portland Thorns versus San Diego Wave. 3-2 the scoreline in this one. Had some goals for Portland from Sophia Smith, Hina Sugita. And then we had halftime 3-0 for Portland. It was looking like it was going to end a certain kind of way when it was halftime in this one, Lisa. When you were looking at this game and you saw Portland doing what they were doing, you said, gosh, 3-0 against San Diego. This could get worse, right? Isn't that like the initial sort of perception? You're like, God, this might get worse.
Yes. That's exactly what you think when Portland starts a match this way with a goal in the fourth minute. They continued the streak of scoring very, very early and frequently. And then, you know, Sugita, she gets a brace in the 21st and 41st minute, back-to-back essentially goals 20 minutes apart from her. And at this point, San Diego, they don't have that much momentum going for them. They don't have a lot of possession. They don't have a lot of solid defense. This was another tale of not being able to clear the ball. We saw that throughout a lot of these matches. And San Diego, they struggled with clearing the ball in this first half against Portland. And Portland is a team that knows how to score. They know how to find the back of the net. We have to talk about this opening goal from Sophia Smith because, wow, this was a fantastic goal. You can see the development from Sophia Smith and especially spending time most recently with the national team, being way more confident in her abilities on the ball and finishing a strike like that. The first or second week of the Challenge Cup, Smith would not have finished that shot. It was from the far left side of the box. She strikes it with confidence, with conviction, and it finds the far post side netting. A really, really nice strike from her. But this match going into halftime for San Diego, down 3-0 at the half. Carly Telford in goal for the Wave struggled a bit. And this is the second time we've seen her in back-to-back games for San Diego. Not making those big time saves that goalkeepers like Kaylin Sheridan tend to make. Kaylin Sheridan listed as out COVID protocol for this match, so not available at all. But Telford is a good goalkeeper. So it needed to be for San Diego, finding a little bit more of that coming together. The change for San Diego at halftime, bringing in Kelsey Turnbow, changed everything for San Diego. She's a player that perhaps in Thursday's game didn't make the most impact, but in this match against Portland, she kept possession. She was able to switch the ball for San Diego, and that changed everything because San Diego won the second half 2-0. Yeah. They were able to get goals. They were able to find the back of the net. Alex Morgan was way more involved, and Turnbow, she was the game changer for San Diego, ultimately ending with an assist on the second goal for San Diego in the second half.
You know, I'm looking at the substitutions in this one, right? We're looking at somebody like a Kelsey Turnbow coming on in this one and turning it on a little bit different look. We've been seeing Turnbow get the starts for this San Diego Wave side in a week like this one, where there's multiple games on a short week, a quick turnaround. It kind of puts the coaching staff in a different position and maybe forces their hand a little bit to make some rotations, right? So we saw Turnbow kind of coming off of the bench and getting a chance to impact the game as a sub versus developing from, you know, the first whistle all the way through to late game scenarios. So that's something that I'm keeping an eye on. If maybe they want to test out this for a little bit, try to see what Kelsey Turnbow can bring off of the bench to impact the game versus maybe starting it. Seeing Taylor Korniak come on in and have the impact that she had. We're talking instantaneous, practically, just, you know, Korniak and Turnbow connecting for that second goal, just minutes after Korniak gets into the game. But again, we're talking a lot about these areas of growth for teams in Challenge Cup, especially for these teams where they essentially know, listen, semifinals are out of reach for us. Challenge Cup is not going to be longer than we were hoping for. But now you still have a game like this or the, you know, next week that they're going to be looking at to close out Challenge Cup. And maybe it is about that now, just sort of closing out strong and finding the areas of growth within your team and trying to still improve on that and develop those moments. So that's what I'm looking for when I'm looking at these expansion sides or these sophomore sides, as I've been referring to them. I'm trying to look for the areas of growth within these teams. And we saw that in Angel City and All Rain. And I think we saw that in this match with Portland versus San Diego. We saw them come out and refuse to just sort of lie down and accept this kind of blowout win, which can maybe be demoralizing for some teams, depending on, you know, the locker room and the mentality from players going out there. So I like that they got into halftime, they hit the reset button, and they come out in the second half and then they threw back a couple elbows of their own.
So
it was nice to see that this closed out to be a bit more of a competitive fixture, I think, than maybe people were anticipating. Because like I said, you look at halftime, you look at the scoreline, you're like, oh gosh, is this going to get worse? It got better, actually.
You're so right in highlighting the positives that we see from these expansion sides. And the thing that makes an expansion side successful is having experienced players that have played in this league before. Yeah. And both Angel City and San Diego Wave have that. And it's because of those players in Savannah McCaskill for Angel City and those players that can go into halftime and say, listen, there's still 45 minutes of soccer left to play. That is a lot of time. We can turn this thing around. We saw that in both Angel City and San Diego in this weekend's games and how they played. San Diego was a different team in the second half. And so was Angel City. Angel City kept so much possession in the second half against All Rain, and San Diego looked much better too defensively. They were a lot more solid. As soon as they won the ball, they were looking to go forward, finding Kelsey Turnbow, realizing that she can be an outlet player for San Diego. As soon as they win the ball, she can keep it for the Wave and look to switch possession of the ball from one side to the other and be that connector from the back to the front of the field. And that's what they did. That's what they leaned into. So those moments of growth and the players taking the game into their own hands has been tremendous to see throughout this Challenge Cup, because that was not happening at the beginning of this Challenge Cup for both of these sides. And it's a huge turning point to see for Casey Stone. He's got to be happy with how they played in the second half. Freya Coombe, even for Angel City, how her team was able to turn it around. Yeah. Those are really promising moments for both of these expansion sides.
Absolutely. Let's stick with this energy, Lisa. Let's stick with girls, because we got to stay with the growth aspect of it, because we're going to be talking about this final game. And it was another goal fest. We had North Carolina Courage and Orlando Pride. North Carolina taking this one 4-2. Again, ton of goals in the opening half. And Orlando Pride, one of these teams that we're talking about, is, you know, kind of struggled a little bit during this Challenge Cup. And with the start that this game had, an own goal from Montefusco, led by additional goals from the Courage in this first half. Daniel Smith, and then Jenkins later on getting on the board for Orlando Pride, but then Dabinia kind of closing things out. It just had a lot of goals, and it just made you feel a certain type of way. But we're sticking with growth here. North Carolina Courage, I think, has been alongside, well, we're talking a lot about OL Reign. We're talking about Spirit, teams who are standing out ahead of the semifinals that will eventually take place. But North Carolina Courage has been fairly consistent in terms of their performances in Challenge Cup as well. Mm-hmm. And they're sitting pretty in the East in terms of possibly making their exit into an eventual spot in the semifinals, representing the East region. And having a game like this, a sort of definitive game, when you have a top-seeded team in the group versus a lower-seeded team in the group, you look at that and you said, okay, well, this game is going to turn out to be a certain kind of way. And while it did go in favor of North Carolina Courage, I want to show some love to Orlando Pride in this match and ensuring that it didn't look like the type of blowout that people were going to anticipate that it was going to be. And kind of shout out Darian Jenkins in this one. Huge. For kind of putting away the goals in which he was able to put them away.
Huge for Darian Jenkins to be able to step up in this match with a brace. Starting this one really in the 15th minute, which at this point it was already 3-0 for North Carolina. Yeah. But Darian Jenkins is a player that we've talked about, Sandra, you and I, in losing Marta in the midfield for Orlando Pride, and Sydney LaRue being on limited minutes right now with some injury herself she's dealing with. Darian Jenkins was the next player that needs to step up. I think Gunny Onsdotter in the midfield as well also needs to step up. And this was the game that we saw Darian Jenkins say, okay, I need to be the one to do this. I'm going to be the leader. Get me the ball and I will find the back of the net. The first goal for her was tremendous. It was picked off. It was a mistake by Anna Morehouse in goal for North Carolina, because Leah Pruitt is able to pick off this pass and finds Jenkins, and Jenkins just buries this shot. And the camera zooms in on Jenkins' face after the first goal and after her second goal. And you can just see on her face determination that, okay, let's get another one. Let's get the ball. Let's restart this. Let's do this. And as a first-year player for Orlando Pride, but not a first-year player for Amanda Cromwell, as they played collegiately for Jenkins played collegiately for Amanda Cromwell, you can tell that Cromwell was leaning on Jenkins in this match to do that. And I think that we saw more from Orlando Pride than we have all Challenge Cup. The thing about North Carolina, first of all, the three goals in the first 9 minutes or so.
Oh my God.
11 minutes, 9 minutes. That's what it was. They broke the record. It was very impressive. Now, my question is, are these goals from North Carolina that incredible, or was it bad defending? Because it doesn't matter.
I think it's unfair to bring up. Yeah.
Yes, it doesn't matter because a goal is a goal, and North Carolina they were in favor of North Carolina. They capitalized on the opportunities. However, the three goals that came in the first 9 minutes were all down the right side for North Carolina. And a lot of people are looking at Carrie Lawrence, the left back for Orlando, because she was the defender in that situation. However, you have to look at more than just the goal scoring play that happened, because for Orlando, Courtney Peterson on that left side, because in that center left back position was also Tony Presley, who was supposed to be playing cover for a player like Peterson out on the flank for Orlando. And that combination play between them wasn't always there. It wasn't. On the first play, it was an own goal by Montefusco, and it's a great ball whipped in. Smith does a fantastic job. I think she had a really, really good game for North Carolina. But Peterson is pulled way out of positioning and she can't track back. She is pulled into the midfield and drawn by Dabinia. On the second goal that happens, Peterson does get beat, but there's no cover from Presley in the midfield. It was a breakdown after breakdown in the midfield and the back line for Orlando in those first 9 minutes. And North Carolina was capitalizing on those opportunities. But that's the difference. I mean, these goals from North Carolina weren't amazing rockets. They were really right place, right time, capitalizing on defensive mistakes.
They did sort of feel like that, a combination of that and just constant movement, right? Constant activity from the attacking line that we're seeing out of North Carolina Courage. And listen, yes, I don't think it's unfair to bring that up at all in terms of some of the defensive issues that Orlando has been going through, whether it's been across the back line or in net at the moment. We're starting to really see the impact of losing someone like an Aaron McLeod for them in goal. And I don't want to take away from what the Courage did offensively because of that. I think if you are a strong offensive unit, you're going to want to take a look at your opposition and say, okay, we're going to try to make you pay. Frankly, if you are not going to, you know, withstand this attack, then we're going to break through on goal. So just sort of the movement that we've been seeing, I think, from this North Carolina Courage side, I'm loving this Taylor Smith renaissance. It is frankly, if not my favorite, one of my most favorite story arcs that we're starting to see the beginning of with her play in Challenge Cup. This is a player that's been moved around a little bit from team to team in NWSL, found herself back with the North Carolina Courage. And not only has she found herself back with this franchise that she achieved a lot of success with in the past, but she's back with head coach in Nahasu, who's pushing her higher. She is across that front line for this North Carolina Courage side. And I thought that this game was the type of game where if you weren't already paying attention to Taylor Smith and what she has been doing and providing for North Carolina Courage, I don't know how you are still like blind to it after watching this type of game and the type of activity that she had in terms of just her heat map alone, but also her ability to impact games, you know, directly or alongside her teammates. I mean, we're looking at the crosses that this team whipped in over 33 crosses. And I think when that's maybe not unfamiliar when you're talking about this Courage side, but it's good to see that it's somebody like Smith behind the service, or even somebody like a Kiki Pickett, a player that they acquired during the offseason. So you're talking about a goal and an assist for Smith in this match. And then even kind of having that, you know, that impact during that own goal, which sort of opened things up. Her movement and ability on the ball has been very impressive for this North Carolina Courage side. And I love that this is a game that maybe we can go back if we're further into the regular season and maybe circle and say, this was one of those Taylor Smith games right here where we know that she has the ability to do A, B, and C. Yes. So I thought it was a really good game from North Carolina Courage. And yes, I don't think it's unfair at all to bring up those very important points that Orlando is struggling on the defensive side of things and in net. But you also have to have that kind of lethal mentality if you are in this league. If that's what separates the elite teams from the not so elite teams.
Yes.
Where you see this and you said, okay, here's your weakness. That's my opportunity. And I think that's what we saw from this Courage side. And that is why I've been very impressed with their play over the course of this Challenge Cup.
I agree with you completely. I mean, calling out the players in Taylor Smith involved in every single moment of the attack for North Carolina and confident on the ball. We saw her on the left. We saw her on the right. She was able to get in behind. And also Kiki Pickett playing in that midfield. I love her in the midfield. I mean, she's a defender by trade. We've even seen her in the front line for Sean Nahas. But I think the midfield is where she can really shine because she is a little bit more defensive minded. She's able to pop off defenders and receive the ball and try to face up, knowing that she can't hold it for too long. And she did a great job switching the point of attack, which forced Orlando Pride's defensive shift, which exposed so many holes. And the combination from Pickett in the midfield, finding Smith out wide, and Smith just going to goal, getting her head up and always looking to find a goal or find a goal scoring opportunity is very, very impressive. North Carolina is such a fun team to watch. It's so fun. This regular season, Sandra, it's going to be nuts.
I love that this is how Challenge Cup is sort of closing out with this sort of level of competition. It's making me more excited for the regular season to come as teams are still in these early weeks figuring things out, but also getting some answers for themselves. So I'm excited to see it. I know we're going to be keeping our eyes close on next week. We're going to have a preview for everyone later in the week. A couple of big games to keep an eye on, right? Courage, Spirit, Chicago Red Stars, Kansas City Current, a couple games that are going to mean something for the outcomes of these groups. We want to thank everybody for joining along. Thank you all for listening to Attacking Third. We appreciate you all so much. Just know that anytime we go live and you join us, we appreciate it. We too need the encouragement. So thank you for joining along with us. If you've enjoyed what we do here, reminder to follow us on Twitter and now on TikTok and Instagram at Attacking Third for so much more. We're on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and anywhere you listen to your podcast shows. We're available as video, so subscribe to us if you haven't already. Hit subscribe at youtube.com/attackingthird. Lisa and I will be back on Wednesday with more NWSL news and notes and some power rankings. For Sandra Herrera and Lisa Roman, this was Attack.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life, while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.